The good news is that although we may have been addicted to something at one time, that can be broken and should be, because there's a power in the gospel to set free. The truth will set you free. And that freedom, I've seen, can be instant by God's mercy and God's grace, and there's no rhyme or reason to it. I don't know why it is that you'd pray for one person and God could deliver them of some addiction they have just right on the spot. And they had it for 20, 30 years, and yet God just radically intervenes. And other people struggle, and you could see their heart wants to be free of it, and yet it keeps tripping them up. But the good news is you keep going down that path, the Bible says we will be changed from one degree of glory to the next by the Spirit of God. And that pull that once was so strong on our heart, that grip gets less and less and less as we continue to grow. But if we keep feeding it, also that grip could get stronger and stronger and stronger to want to bring us back into the slavery. That's why he says, therefore, you don't let it reign in your mortal body. Now yield your body as an instrument for righteousness. As verse 13 says, and do not present your members, that's the physical parts of your body, as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, just like Jesus earlier in the chapter, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. So that's where the physical body can be used for God's glory, for righteous purposes. So it's not this evil, rotten, stinky, corroded thing that you're carrying around. It could be used for God's glory, for righteousness. Also look at Romans 12, verse 1. It says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your spirits a living sacrifice. Is that what it says? No, it says your body as a living sacrifice. Look at these words, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. This body, even though it's weak, I'm not going to count on it, can be yielded for God's holy purposes. It could also be yielded for the unholy purposes. So don't get an extreme view on this flesh. There's nothing good that dwells in it, but it can be yielded for holy purposes, for God's purposes, for His will. Go back to Romans 7. Thomas Watson, who was Puritan, in the Puritan era, he wrote a book called The Body of Divinity, and he said this, the sign of sanctification is an antipathy against sin. A hypocrite may leave sin, but love it. As a serpent sheds its coat, but keeps its sting. But a sanctified person can not only say that he leaves sin, he loathes it. God has changed thy nature and made thee as a king's daughter, all glorious within. He has put on thee the breastplate of holiness, which, though it may be shot at, it could never be shot through. And that's one of the other issues in relating to sin. Proverbs says that we not only need to repent of our sin and confess our sin, but we need to forsake our sin. And we need to really learn to hate sin, to hate its destructive forces. And there's no doubt in my mind that as I've grown as a Christian, I see the destructive nature and power that sin has in the life of the world, in our nation, as well as in the life of believers. And I hate it. And I want to hate it for my own life, so I don't let it come in and destroy the work that God wants to do. And that's growing in my understanding. That's a sign of sanctification. So let's go on to this third little lament that Paul has there in verse 21. I find then a law that evil is present with me, that sin that dwells in the flesh, the one who wills to do good. So that evil is present, and that's that sin that's in the flesh. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. And the law still has a purpose. We are not under the law. That's not what I'm trying to say. Because if you place yourself under the law, all it does is show you how far you fall short. And you'll live under condemnation. You'll never be able to have any degree of confidence to approach the Lord, to worship Him, to serve Him. And you'll always be like trying to climb this ladder, trying to eventually gain some sort of acceptance with God. But the law now does come into my life, and I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. I want to live out the law, but I find evil is present there, not allowing me to do so according to the desires that are within the hearts. But at the same time, as you need to understand, even though that is true, you're not under condemnation by God. Romans 8 covers that. Verse 23 describes that very clearly. But I see another law in my members. Now, it's obviously not talking about a law written down. It's more like a governing force or a principle or that evil that's present up there or a power. So there's another power that's warring against the law of my mind and bringing me in captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. I mean, you know, Paul just keeps saying this so that we don't mess it up, but people still mess it up. Sin dwells in the body, in this mortal body, this part that has not been completely redeemed yet. Verse 24, this is about as bad as you could get, or not as bad, but as intense as you can. He says, "Oh, wretched man that I am." I don't think he's saying a wretched man that I was. He's saying what I am. And I realize, like Paul, I could profess, "Oh, wretched man that I am. Now look what it is. Who will deliver me from this body of death?" He wants deliverance. He's not talking about maturity. He's saying, get me out of this body of death. I pray for deliverance. I have matured since I received the Lord. And this hasn't went away. It's gotten worse. So I'm praying for deliverance. I want to be delivered from the state that I'm in. I believe that's what Paul's calling out for. And I think it expresses the longing of all of our heart. God, take this weakness away. And so Paul wants deliverance. Verse 25, "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord." That's where the deliverance is going to come. Now, I don't think at all what he's saying here is Romans 8, it's the Spirit, that's the deliverance. Ask yourself, do you have the Holy Spirit? Ask yourself, do you still struggle with sin? Then what's the problem? Because that's the lot of every believer that I know. Ask any Christian that really has a humble spirit, do you struggle with sin? And they'll say, who told you? And that's the lot that we have. And deliverance comes through Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 8, let's look at verse 18. "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." That's going to be awesome. That's heaven. "For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation itself was subject to futility, not willing, but because of him who has subjected it in hope." See, the Bible says we're saved in hope. We have not experienced all that salvation is. There's more to come. And part of that relates to this physical body. "Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. And not only they, but we also." There's more yet that God's going to do. And it goes on to say, "who also have the first fruits of the Spirit." That's why we're so sensitive to sin, because we have the Holy Spirit in us. "Even we ourselves groan within ourselves." That's not just because you're getting older along in age and your body's groaning. It's because you have the first fruits of the Spirit. You have a holiness that's been deposited into you. And you long for more. And it comes here, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. And that's when we're raised to newness of life, incorruptible, where this body will no longer be tainted with sin. Turn over to 1 Corinthians 15, verse 57. He says, "But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Now what's the victory? Is he talking about the Holy Spirit? Context, context, context. You read through 1 Corinthians 15, it's all about the resurrection, where this body is transformed and changed into a body like Jesus Christ, where this mortality puts on immortality. That's the victory that we're longing for. That's the redemption of the body. And that's what we want deliverance from, because we have this redeemed spirit in this body that's weak, and we're saying, God, deliver me from this. And the Lord says, I will. You're saved in this hope, and I've given you the Holy Spirit as a down payment, as a guarantee, as a pledge that everything else I promised to you, you're going to receive. Look also over at Philippians chapter 3, verse 21, where he says, "Who will transform our lowly body, that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself." It's a transformation that takes place. Paul calls it redemption in Romans 8. God has a plan for this physical body. Right now, he wants you to use it for his will, for his purposes, even though it's weak. But through the power of the Spirit of God, it can be subdued, those desires. And we could yield our body as instruments for righteousness. We could yield it to God to bring about His will. And we do that until the Lord comes back and raises this body to change it from mortality to immortality. That's the deliverance. That's the victory that God has given us. But we have not experienced it yet, nor will we in this life. It takes death. Then the transformation will take place. And that's why this battle is so intense, because you have new heart, a new nature, the Spirit, all longing for that, groaning within yourself, longing to be clothed with that immortality and perfect holiness and 100% freedom from sin. But Paul says in the last part of verse 25, "So then, with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with flesh the law of sin." So the battle continues on. And although that's true, you're under no condemnation, because that sin has been taken care of at the cross of Jesus Christ.